Best sleep, not gonna lie. But you get clowns like the 530 texting and sensitive stuff like that. Kind of gets under my skin. All right. Anthony Slater joins us on the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Slates, what's going on, man? Good morning.
I'm good. I that's always an odd audio drop, that mashed potato thing.
But it is a little, good. It does get a little odd. I know you're much more than a mashed potatoes guy, right? You like steaks. You like macaroni. What else do you like, Anthony? What is your go-to meal?
I don't know. I like a lot of things in life.
You travel too much, so you can't, like, you know, you probably just go to wherever, right? You're not a fast food guy because you're in great shape.
Yeah, I mean, but if I'm in Philly, I'll have, like, a cheesesteak. If I'm in New Orleans, I'll try to go to, like, you know, a gumbo spot or something. Yeah. I try to go local.
Yeah, there you go. I respect that. So I got a bet with Shasky here. When was the bet made? I don't know when the bet was made, but I basically said Draymond will play at least 65 games this season. And Shasky just scoffed, laughed at me. I believe Draymond's going to play at least 65 games this year, don't you?
I've got a question. Is his skepticism like, oh, he's older in his career, he's going to get some bangs and bruises? Or is it like he thinks there's...
Yeah.
No, he thinks there's just suspensions.
Well, no. It's ejections, it's a catch-all. It's called a catch-all, meaning it's both the suspensions and the injuries. I mean, the guy, he's older.
You tell me, Slater. Play this out. You got the sound. Let's play it for Slater. He's a good friend of the program. Play this out for Slates. Anything could happen.
Anything is possible.
Anything is possible. Anything is possible for Sacramento.
That maybe Draymond, I don't know, gets suspended at least once next year.
No, I think Draymond will be on his best behavior.
I think Draymond's learned his lesson at this point.
I do believe that.
He may get
a couple double texts. He may get some texts. He may get suspended for having 16 texts. But the long suspension, 27 games, he's playing. I will bet you this.
He had multiple suspensions.
He can shave it down to at least 20 games.
I'm willing to make this bet right now.
Make the bet. What's the bet?
Draymond will play at least 65 games in a regular season next year. Next season. He's playing at least 65.
So he'll miss 17.
I just said he'll play at least 65.
Okay, well, you're missing 17.
No, well, I just said he'll play at
least
65.
That's like a fifth of the season.
No, it doesn't mean that he's going to miss 17.
He'll miss at most 17.
I'm not taking that.
There you go. That's the way to phrase it, Flubbin. He'll play at least 65. You want to make that bet?
I'm not optimistic.
What are we betting?
Whatever you want. There it is, Slates. There it is.
It's 4-for-4.
4-for-4, baby. We're off to a good start. And the Warriors are off to a good start. 3-1. And obviously we'll get to Buddy Hield and we'll get to the depth and everything like that. But Lindy Waters the third? How about him? How about Lindy Waters, Slates?
Oklahoma State.
Did you know about him there? Did you know about him in Stillwater?
What about Stillwater? Yeah, I knew about him. I watch Oklahoma State basketball. The thing is, he was like a solid little rotation player for like not a great Oklahoma State team. he was never considered an NBA prospect. Sam Presti found him. And then that's a factory in Oklahoma City, and they developed him. And obviously it's through his hard work. And, you know, I'm around the Thunder some, and I know plenty of people within the Thunder. They love him. They've been saying all summer how much he's going to, like, they've been the ones like, he could help. He'd get him on the floor. They didn't want to give him up. The problem is they just have so many players / like first round future picks. Like, there just wasn't necessarily room for him. Which is kind of his issue right now with the Warriors, right? He's a 13th man in a 12 man rotation, but, should that be the case moving forward? I don't know.
No. Well, I think we're going to find out as time goes on, but I do believe the shooting is sustainable because that's what everyone has basically been talking about. Like, this guy's a great shooter. Now, will he shoot the clip he shot last night? Like, we'll see, right? But I thought that the way that he played with his pants on fire and his hair on fire, where he was dribble drive penetrating, which I didn't think he could put the ball on the floor, active on at least he was trying on defense, it felt like, hustling for loose balls. He went backdoor a couple of times because of the threat of him being able to shoot. I feel like the guy's got an opportunity here, though, doesn't he? Like, at least be in the rotation. I'm not saying he's a starter.
He's a good player. I think he might start tonight. Started the second half last night. Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to because of, you know, the depth that makes it difficult for a lot of guys. You know, Moody, Kuminga, other guys I'm sure we're going to talk about. But Steve Kerr loves him. Steve Kerr had a long conversation with Mark Daigneault this summer, the Thunder coach, and like, you know, Mark Daigneault voiced to him how much he's going to love him. I know Thunder people were saying the entire time they thought he fit the Warriors system, right? I mean, you can already see that, the movement, the cutting, everything that Steve Kerr liked. There was a moment last night he hit a couple threes, and he's kind of, you know, curling around the wing. He got the ball, and, like, the Pelicans flew out of two guys, and it led to, I believe it was a Moody layup. Mm-hmm. After it got dumped down, it was like, you know, it's kind of gravity related, you know, to Lindy Waters. I do think he's a volume, like, near 40% type 3-point shooter in the league, and he's big. You know, he's taller. He's probably taller than you expected, right? A lot of times these sharpshooters are smaller. Like, no, he's not a huge wing that's going to, like, physically, you know, be imposing defensively, but he's also not going to just get run over. Mm. And you saw that last night. He's smart, and the other thing is, like, you guys probably saw his personality at the press conference.
Yeah.
But he's like super professional. Again, that's a little bit like the Thunder factory that, you know, he comes from. It's just like all business, kind of no distractions, and I think they found somebody.
What did he tell you, Slater, last night? I keep that strap on me. Yeah, I keep that strap on me, man. I love that. All right, some personality there. What about Buddy Hield? Buddy Hield's podium games have been pretty good this year, and he's been pretty good on the court in 3-4 games. The outlier being the Portland, the Clippers game on Sunday, where he goes 3-14 and 1-9 from the 3-point line. But boy, that guy heated up yesterday. And the move to the rim, where he's going through the legs and dribbling, driving. I text some guys. I text our boys KC and D'Lo. You know them boys up in ESPN 1320. They said, "We've never seen that in Sacramento." Buddy's got a little bag on him, Slates.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, fans are gonna need to, like, you know, understand it. It's a little clay-like with the really hot stretches and really cold stretches. Before the second half last night, he was 4 of 22 shooting in the six quarters on the homestand, and then he scores 25 in the second half and hits, you know, 6 of 6 from three. Obviously, he had those first two explosive games, but, you know, he kind of, like, Kerr went to Lindy Waters over him to start the second half because he wasn't good in the first half, and then he's the player of the game in the second half. So it's going to be hit and miss, and I do think with depth, as long as it's accepted by everybody, that's where the benefit is. Like, there's going to be Buddy Hield nights and non-Buddy Hield nights. And theoretically, if he's cold, you just go away from him. And if he's hot, he might win you a game. Like, in some ways, he didn't necessarily win the game last night, but he put it away. At the number they got him at, how they got him, and they just kind of snuck him in their final little, like, you know, 7-8 million, whatever it was, amount of cap space that was left really at the end of free agency. That turned out to be a creative move and potentially a really big move for a team that needs shooting.
So before the game, Shams Charania reports, and it was a little misleading based on the graphic, like Jonathan Kuminga, and it says benched in, like, really large, bold font on the graphic that's associating to the tweet. And I'm like, well, is he going to play? Is he benched forever? Like, well, like, benched to me is like you don't play much, you know? Like, he ended up having the most minutes and the most points he's had all year. It was a little, you know, rough early on, but I thought he was excellent in the middle part of the game. And I'm just wondering, will he buy in to the I can come and not be a starter and still get a lot of my minutes and a lot of my production, you know, in various lineups? Is he willing to buy in? Was that the sense you got after the game?
Look, I wrote about it in detail about why these decisions are being made, what is making this, like, rotational puzzle very tricky. And, you know, I had kind of had a back and forth with them in the locker room, maybe four questions long, that, you know, I think makes clear he doesn't necessarily love the situation, but, like, as far as buy-in, like, he's going to play when Steve Kerr tells him to play, and last night it was off the bench, and like you said, he played 28 minutes, he played well, he looked motivated. So, like, he has to, right? He's playing for a contract, he's playing for his big contract. He can't just, like, completely pout all year and, like, have a bad season. Like, he really needs to have a good season for his own individual self, but also for the team. So again, tonight I expect him against the same Pelicans team, you know, probably coming off the bench, but probably playing high minutes. Now, what's tough right now, what's tough probably for him to take, but it's just, like, the lineup combinations don't favor him starting if Draymond Green is going to play power forward. And Draymond Green clearly wants to play power forward. He's made that clear. Now, they tried to force fit that really big starting lineup, which, you know, the coaching staff kind of did that with a level of skepticism. I think it was a little bit to appease, you know, the players to see if it worked. And I know it would have had a longer runway had Steph not sprained his ankle. Like, they were going to give it a test drive of, it sounded like, at least, you know, 10 something games.
Right.
And maybe they'll go back to it when Steph comes back in a few games. But Kerr's belief last night going into the game, while it seems counterintuitive that, hey, Steph's out, Wiggins is out, you bench Kuminga, that seems surprising because he would seem to be your top scorer if those two are out. But he wanted to play Draymond at the four. Draymond wants to play the four. Trace at the five. There's a belief without Steph on the floor, without that gravity, you can't also play Kuminga at the three. Now, that has been a point of contention. Obviously, Kuminga believes he can be a three. Draymond has said he's a three. Kerr kind of believes he's a four at this point. There's just a lot going on here. As far as buy-in, again, like, doesn't seem to love what's going on, but kind of has to play really well for himself and for the team, and did last night, as you mentioned. Like, he should be credited for the way he played.
We're talking to Anthony Slater here on the River Islands guest line. Our 95.7 The Game Insider does a great job for the Athletic, cover the Warriors, the Thunder, the Kings, you name it. But he's really tapped in on the Golden State Warriors. So I'll ask you this then, because it does feel like Steve Kerr at some point is going to have to pare down a rotation, playing 12, 13 guys. We've seen him play 12 guys in the first quarter alone, for that matter. And it's wild, but it's working right now. Would it shock you if Kuminga was wearing a different uniform by the end of the season?
I don't think anything in the league shocks me. This is my 12th season covering it. I mean, the Durant era, all those early Thunder teams I covered, some of the crazy. I mean, the last few seasons.
Yeah.
Poole era, the Wiseman era. Like, you know, let's go on and on.
CP3, so,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. Again, I don't want to come out and, like, I definitely don't want any type of, like, you know, clip where it's like I'm predicting.
Yeah, no doubt. Because, but, like, you make a point, though, like,
would I be shocked? No, you know, I mean, you know, like, it could happen. I mean, like, this is a pivot point of his career. There was no extension signed. His future is unknown, and the Warriors feel at a very urgent moment. We know that they went heavy into the trade market this summer. I know they didn't complete one, but they were very explorative. And, you know, talking to their people in the front office, it's very clear they're even somewhat public about it. Like, they're going to be an aggressive deadline team.
Right.
And Kuminga, because he didn't sign the extension, has a very, you know, low salary tradable contract. And if there's a team out there that is ready to pay him, like, it's like possible. Again, what else is possible is he plays well, he has a good season, he goes in a restricted phase, he gets a huge deal, either an offer sheet that the Warriors match, or maybe the Warriors give him a deal. Like, there's a lot on the table with him in his future, and because he didn't sign that deal, it's more unknown.
How's the relationship between Steve Kerr and Jonathan Kuminga? We know there was some turbulence last year after that Denver game when they went on a 25-4 run and stole that game with a Jokic three-point shot. Where are their relationship at, Kerr and Kuminga?
Yeah, I mean, like, again, I think it's clear, like, you know, Kuminga didn't love the decision to have him come off the bench last night. He does, you know, and beyond that, like, yeah, he was starting, but he had played, I think, like 2018 and 22 minutes the first three games. I mean, that's certainly not how he necessarily envisions year four starting. But also, like, you know, despite him making somewhat of his feelings clear, and like, we all know, like, his desires long term to be a star in the league, like, he is professional in the sense of, like, he's accepting of these moves. So he's coming off the bench last night. I thought he played more of the type of game they want him to. He was more to the rim. He got to the free throw line. He was in better lineups. Again, like, I think at times Steve's very honest with the media, right? It's what we love about him. But, you know, I don't, like, he has come out and been, like, saying that he thinks he's not a small forward. Like, I'm not sure that Kuminga loves to hear that. But these are just the back and forth of sports, high level, you know, competitive, big money sports. I don't think it's at some, like, irreparable state, but that's just the reality of the situation. In a very complicated rotation and you know, that's always going to kind of create these moments.
You referenced Oklahoma City earlier when we're talking about Lindy Waters. You referred to him as, like, a factory when it comes to development. What do they do that the Warriors aren't doing? Because I look at what the Warriors have in place right now, and we still kind of don't know who Kuminga or Moses Moody are to a degree. It's just like, what is Oklahoma City doing? Like, what specifically are they doing? Lindy Waters didn't play in games, and yet he feels like, wow, this guy can really help them. I mean, he might be a one-off. I want to explore that. What do they do?
Yeah, I think one of the main things they did over the last half decade is for about three seasons, they went into like a cocoon and, you know, tanked, whatever you want to call it. They like all they cared about for a few years was finding the best coaches, finding the best young talent, you know, in their Oklahoma City bubble that is like it's very like stern and serious and like hardworking, and like they really used the G League team. Oklahoma City Blue there, where Lindy Waters, by the way, played under Mark Daigneault when he was the G League coach. They like to develop coaches. That's how they got Mark Daigneault, who's now considered one of the best coaches in the league. And they just like, they grind. And again, they did it. You know, the difference, in my opinion, between them and the Warriors over that time, when the Warriors had a bunch of young players, but couldn't, like, it was such a tough environment to get them on the floor. And like, you know, like the Steph system, the Draymond system, just the spotlight of the Warriors. I mean, we can talk about all the various mishaps in the Wiseman development. We can talk Kuminga, Moody, all that. But some of that's because they're competing for titles. And I know the Thunder are now, but the Thunder weren't for a while. And that was purposeful. And I think that had a lot to do with it. Like how they developed in those years away from, like how many times did you even think about the Thunder for like three or four straight seasons?
Yeah, no,
not at all, but they created what they are now then.
No, Daigneault's come a long way. That franchise has come a long way. The Oklahoma City Blue, their G League team. Shask and I were talking about it before. I think I had a tweet yesterday said, shout out to the OKC player development program for Lindy Waters, man. They're just developing dudes at a high level. Real quick, before we let you go, Steph's not going to go tonight. DeAnthony Melton's not going to go tonight. Is there any reason to think that Andrew Wiggins will go tonight? And how long would all three of those players do you anticipate them being out for?
Yeah, so on the Wiggins front, you know, Kerr said it was minor last night, and it's possible he could play tonight. No injury report at this point. I will say I saw him post-game with, like, kind of, I don't know if it was like a heat pack, but something wrapped on his lower back. That's not saying he will or won't play, but clearly he is kind of dealing with some soreness there that was lingering at least into post-game last night. So I think the way that they played and the slow game this season, I probably predict he wouldn't necessarily play tonight, but you know, Kerr said it's not serious. Melton, you're only concerned because of the history of it. You know, I think he only played like 35 games, something like that last season, because of like some really tricky to solve lower back issues that, you know, date back further than last season. They have him under the Rick Celebrini plan. I know before he even signed, he talked to Rick Celebrini, and I think one of the appeals of the Warriors to him, I know this, I've talked to him, was the Otto Porter history, Draymond Green, who had that back issue, and the way Celebrini, you know, managed those guys through a season, particularly Otto Porter. And so I think some of this is like maintenance with the Anthony Melton, making sure he's healthy throughout the season. But still, the fact that, you know, he's having a, you know, lower back issue right now, it's an alarm bell, but again, they're not saying it's long-term. They just pulled him out for a couple games. Probably would see him on the road trip. And then Steph, they were encouraged with the way that the ankle responded post-game the night it happened and even the next day. I thought they were maybe going to do one of those reevaluated in a week. And the fact that they decided to tape that back and just say, hey, reevaluate it Friday, signals to me not necessarily that he's going to play at the start of the road trip in Houston, but it's possible, and if it's not then, it'll be pretty soon. Like, it's a minor sprain.
Got it. That'd be good, because that road trip is a monster. Well, Houston, the Wizards, and Jordan Poole's playing well, and then, of course, you get Boston, Cleveland, and the Oklahoma City Thunder that we spoke about. And yeah, you're right. DeAnthony Melton last year playing 38 games, starting 33 of them, but obviously he missed the playoffs for the Sixers. Slater, man, I'll see you tonight at Chase Center, man. Keep up the great work, buddy. Thanks for joining us.
All right, fellas.
All right, I see you later here on the River Islands guest line and all guests on 95.7 The Game.